Welcome to Phone Sex with Lily Show, where talent in front and behind the camera is showcased and explored. As you can imagine, there are a lot of characters and personalities in this industry. Listen as they share their stories. But first, grab your lube and get comfortable because the guests will unknowingly be subjected to phone sex with a porn star, webcam model, and your host, Lily Craven.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you have quite the voice there.
Well, thank you. You sound lovely yourself.
Wow. So what do you do with a nice voice like that?
Well, what would you like for me to do with a voice like this?
I would like you to whisper sweet nothings in my ear.
Hmm.
Oh, I loved it. That was good. You did good. Do it again. Oh, see? It's just, it doesn't matter what you say it. What you're saying, it's how you say it. You have an awesome voice.
Well, I have been told it's kind of deep, so I guess you can appreciate that.
Yeah, you almost sound like a country music singer that's drinking his woes away.
Well, I don't know about that. They're usually lonely and just ran over their dog and their wife left them. So maybe a little, Barry White, something like that.
Now, Barry White was on the show last week. He was, his voice was pretty incredible.
Barry White, Isaac Hayes.
Okay, it wasn't the real Barry White, but if you just close your eyes, you would have heard him.
he does a little bit more for you than me, though. I don't use it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point. So, so now if you say something really, really nice to me, I might give you a little gift.
Really nice. Well, I'll tell you what, not only will I be nice, I'll be genuine and honest. Oh. You are absolutely gorgeous. You are a beautiful woman.
Oh, thank you so much.
You should be really proud of what you're doing.
Oh, well, I'll have to give you a special gift. You're watching Phone Sex with Lily Show, and I have a very special guest here today, one that we have not had this genre on here yet. We have a gamer. I'm going to let him introduce himself, but we have someone in the gaming industry. His name is Neil Heron, a.k.a. Vanilla. Hello.
How's it going? How are you doing, Lily?
Good, good. Now, I'm going to let you introduce yourself because I am not from the gaming world, but I know that go for it. I don't want to screw it up.
Technically, you're not wrong. I am a gamer. That's how I got into what I'm doing now, but I am the founder and creative director of the Vanilla Gaming Company. So we're actually a development company that creates video games.
Ooh, and you're here to talk about your most recent game, which is?
Vanilla Beast Retro Knockout.
Vanilla Beast Retro Knockout. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Right. Well, before we get in to the game, a little bit about what we're doing is we're one of the first companies that's really doing what we're doing now, and that's bringing the adult side into mainstream gaming. So, right. So what we're doing here, it's different and it's difficult because there's a reason people haven't done this. And anytime you're pioneering something and you're one of the first, it's going to be difficult. I mean, look at Larry Flynt. He's from right here. He did his stuff right here in Cincinnati where I'm at. And I can remember being, younger and seeing what he was going. And that was just magazines, right? So we're actually in the digital age now where it's you have your mature media and then you have your mainstream media and they usually don't cross because mainstream media doesn't want anything mature on their side. So there are some games you may have heard of like Grand Theft Auto. I'm sure you've heard of Grand Theft Auto, right?
I have.
Well, there was a game, I believe it was Vice City, and Jenna Jameson played a character on that. Her name was Candy Sucks, like S-U-X-X.
Right? Good one.
And there's been a few adult film stars that's been in gaming in the past, but they usually have a small role and they just kind of play a little character, like a porn type character. What we're doing as a company is we're bringing back retro games. So games from the 80s, 90s, you know, some of the old Nintendo games, but we're bringing them back in a modern twist, and we're allowing adult film stars such as yourself to play themselves in the game as part of the story. So it's kind of giving you a face and a voice. So like Lily, you would be Lily in the game. We wouldn't create a fake character for you. Mm-hmm. We would create you in the game. And depending on the game, you might have superpowers or like awesome fighting moves or just whatever it may be. And it's a way to bring the adult film or the adult film world into mainstream gaming, because to launch on consoles like Nintendo Switch, Xbox, PlayStation, you have to have what's called a mature rating or lower. If you hit that adults only, you're not allowed, the consoles will not accept your game. You have to stay on PC. So most games that would have someone like an, you know, like yourself, an adult film star, they just go all out and they say, we're going to go adults only. We're going to show sex and, you know, tons of nudity and sex, and they're never going to be allowed to be on Xbox or anything. So what we're doing is we're dancing on that line. We're bringing in
the fine line of the law.
Exactly. Well, we're doing something that nobody's done before. And we're going to dance on that fine line to where we're not going to show sex. We're not doing anything hard. As a matter of fact, you know, games like, you know, Cyberpunk and The Witcher and some of these will actually show more sexual content than we are. But we're bringing the actual adult film stars in to play themselves through very humorous and funny stories and these retro games that we're bringing back.
But now why? Like, why take this chance? Because it is a chance, right? That it
We're already like losing, like, you know, we're losing people, like marketing teams don't want to deal with us.
Yeah.
Publishers say no. You know, so the reason I'm doing this is because, you know, I set out to do this because a few years back, I started the company that we're in right now in 2020. Now, I mean, me and the people that's working on a game has been around for 20 plus years in the industry, right? Mm-hmm. But I started the vanilla gaming company specifically for these projects in 2020. And one of the things I wanted to do was keep it funny. Like, it's all about parody. It's about humor. And, yes. And like, politics and like religion and all this divisiveness out there in the world, screw it all. We're not doing any of that. We're keeping politics and out as far away as we can. And it's just, yay. Remember back in the 90s when you could just watch a movie or you could play a video game or whatever.
And laugh.
Exactly. There was no agenda. Like nobody was pushing their thoughts down your throat and making you, trying to convert you to how they feel. And gaming is like that now. I mean, it's in movies, it's in shows. It's really bad on some shows. You can't even watch a show anymore without just being bombarded with people's beliefs. So I said, you know what? Gaming is not that bad yet, but it's also not doing anything progressive. Like most games now are very cookie cutter. It's what's safe. People care about their bottom line and their money. So to answer your question directly is I care more about making a fun product that the retro gamers, the Generation X and around that area, like myself, is going to say, finally. And that's what I've been hearing. It's like, I've had some reviews on the game because the game is not out yet. It comes out in quarter two. But I've had so many people shoot me messages on Twitter or DMs or emails. So many emails have come in and they're like, thank God you guys are doing something to where I can just have fun. I can sit down, grab a beer and play your game and laugh and just
like,
have
like in the 80s and 90s. Cause that's literally the last time I touched a game was in the 80s and 90s. Well, okay. Maybe the 90s. It was about 1990 and it was, you know, the Nintendo systems, the boxes, the Pong, Frogger, on the PC, and you're like blink, 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 blink.
It was actually Atari, I believe. Yeah, I think Frogger was on Atari back then.
Yeah, and you had the Pong where it like hit the ball and you'd hit it on the paddle. Okay, is that too far back?
No, because I'm there too. I'm there with you. You know, I'm Generation X. I was born, you know, right there. I mean, my childhood was the 80s, and then I was a teenager in the 90s. So I got Baywatch and all that good stuff right in there. It was awesome. So
Pamela. And Magnum PI. Oh, let's not go there.
Probably a little bit better than me. I was more so on the Baywatch side of things.
Well, of course, but I was, you know, like the red car. That was it.
It was a Ferrari. Yeah. He had a really nice Ferrari.
Yeah, that was his Ferrari I liked. So,
and that mustache. So,
and now you said parodies. What is this parody? Like, is this particular game a parody of something from that age?
Yeah. So originally what we'd done is okay, so let me give you the whole story here and for you and your listeners so you can understand exactly what we're doing, because this is a big, we're really calling it the Vanillaverse. Okay.
Cause I love it.
We had a game and it was called Ace in the Hole, and it was a really big game. It's one of those games like, do you remember Leisure Suit Larry? That was known for the adult themes and all that stuff. Well, it was a game where you could like walk around town. And
I was
you would
a child.
Okay. I'm just kind of lay it out here for you and everyone listening is you would like find item A here and you could take it across the map. It would like unlock something. So we have this game called Ace in the Hole, and it's about Vanilla as a secret agent, a little bit older and a little bit older, like in his career. And what's neat about this game is it's going to have multiple levels that are parodies of different games throughout it. So you may find like a key over here that unlocks the beach. And now the beach is a parody level of TNC Surf Design from Nintendo. And then maybe you go to camp in the game and it's like a top-down Zelda-like game. Uh-huh. And then that unlocks like the Friday the 13th Nintendo game parody level. And what we did is it was huge undertaking, a very big game, because I had a different artist or team draw each level so that when you played it, it felt like a totally different game. And it's a great concept. It's something that we're working on right now. So that was the original Kickstarter that we had worked on, and we started getting money, and we had thousands of dollars coming in. We hadn't hit goal yet. And just, it was one of those things where we hadn't gone far enough into it yet to where we had hit goal or anything. And I had to do some soul searching or whatever you call it, because I had an idea. And that was, you know what? These levels could be entire games on themselves. And one thing that gamers love is lore and background. I mean, there's like a game out there called Hollow Knight. You can go, people create their own websites and wikis just to make stuff up about the game because they love it so much. And I said, you know what? We're going to take the approach that Marvel took in phase one of their movies. Remember when Marvel was good? Like when the Iron Man came out, it had Robert Downey Jr. He built it in the
game. When it was good. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, now I don't even know what's going on now. I don't know the characters anymore because they don't look anything like they're supposed to look like. They don't have right roles playing them. So that came out. And then it gave you a little teaser of like Captain America's shield or Thor's hammer. And then the Thor movie would come out. Right. And then so what they were doing, and this is genius, they were introducing the audience to each character so that you understand who that character is, who Black Widow is, you know, Scarlett Johansson, Chris Evans playing Captain America. And they gave them their own standalone movies so that when the Avengers came out 4, 5, 6 years later, they had already banked that entire audience. Right. And they couldn't wait to see their favorite characters come together. So really, we're doing the same thing. So what I said, this is what we need to do is Ace in a Hole is our Avengers. That is going to be the game at the very end. We're making 2 to 3 prequel games that will introduce you to the world, the vanilla world, like the character that I'm playing, you know, Nicky Huntsman's in Retro Knockout, UK, all these different characters in each game is going to introduce you to more adult stars playing themselves and also more background about the land and the world so that by the time you get to Ace in the Hole, you already feel like you're a part of this world and you've gotten to see, you know, 2, 3 different games that are fun parody retro games that has gotten you involved with everything you're doing. So that's kind of why I said, let's stop what we're doing because it was a very big game making Ace in the Hole and we want to do it right. I don't want to ever put anything out that's not where it needs to be, because that's gaming has kind of, you know, had a bad name for releasing games and you can't even play it when it comes out. I don't
know. Oh, goodness.
How that happens. Yeah. You know, I mean, big AAA studios that have millions of dollars behind them, but it does happen. And so we wanted to make sure that we have enough time, number one, to get the game to where we want it, but also let's bring people along for a ride. So that's what.
Oh, yeah. Journey through this. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Exactly. Retro Knockout is a parody on Mike Tyson's Punch Out from 19.
Nice.
The late 80s right there. So this game is going to play like Mike Tyson's Punch Out with a few more bells and whistles. It has that whole gameplay, the charm, the pixel art, but modernized. But what we're doing with all the games is we're maturing them. Because see, the thing that I've seen that anytime a company tries to make a retro game, as they call it, I still feel like the game thinks I'm 10 years old or 12 years old. It's like, I understand why I felt that way when I was 10 years old.
Yes.
Why is me as a 42-year-old man and you're saying I'm your target? That's the key. So these developers will say I'm your target audience. why do I play the game? Is it still treat me like it, I'm 10 years old? So what we're doing is adding nudity. Not sex, not hardcore sex, but the nudity and getting the illustrators in that are really good at like graphic art or graphic novels and other video games, like Oleg Akunov is his name. He's from Ukraine. He's done some great games. His style is awesome. So he's drawn like me and Nikki and all the characters in that. So we have a story that as the game goes along, you're actually going to have, you know, 7+ chapters of this really neat illustrated story that's going to give you kind of like chapter one of the entire Vanellope series.
Instead of throwing them all at the end with the background information for each character along the way.
Exactly. And what we can do now, so when you play Ace in the Hole, whether or not you played Retro Knockout or not, Ace in the Hole will have a level where, for example, Vanilla's telling little Timmy about the time he won the Venerysville Boxing Championship, and that entire game will just be like a couple levels, like a couple fights of him reminiscing to that first game, which is a really neat way to do it because you don't see many companies do that, but it's really neat because you can truly build a world that way because each game can reference the game that's already came out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And make you feel like you're growing with the game.
I'm all about series. Like, keep it going. Let's build this whole journey and have an ultimate end. Exactly. So it's good. You got the end first, right?
Which is a huge climax, right?
Yeah, well, that they say to do the end. Hold on. They always say to do the end first, and then you. Okay.
No, if we do the end first, I'm just going to be tired. I'm going to go get a pizza or something.
He's already asleep. She's making a sandwich for you.
I'm on the end first.
So now you're going to be launching a crowdfunding campaign through Kickstarter, correct?
That is correct.
All right. And that is supposed to take off.
March 14th. So we're live right now on March 14th.
March 14th. Okay. And so what exactly are you earning the money for? What does it go towards? And what are some of your prizes or incentives?
Right. Yeah. I mean, so all the money goes to my cocaine habit. No, I'm just kidding.
Blow it. No, go ahead.
Literally.
That damn blow.
Yeah. So that's a good question because, see, some games go to Kickstarter, and not just games, but, you know, there's board games out there. There's video games.
Yep.
There's inventions. Kickstarter has a lot of different things. They've come a long way over the last
10 years. It's a great platform. Yes.
So some games go on there and they say, hey, help us make this game. We can't release without you. That's not what we're doing because, see, that's a risk. When people see that, they're like, okay, if we don't hit this $30,000 goal or whatever it might be, the game won't come out at all. And people are kind of like, okay, let's say I donate $500 to this company and they do hit goal. But what if they just take my money and run? Because, see, it's happened. That's what's so unfortunate about Kickstarter. Yeah. Thankfully, I can tell you and everybody listening, we're coming out quarter two of this year in the next couple months by June, so probably May to June, no matter what. The Kickstarter isn't to have us launch. The Kickstarter is console specific. So we have a small goal to hit that we're going to add bells and whistles. We'll have some more dialogue, some more character to the game, maybe give us a little bit more funding so that we can get more move sets and gameplay in, you know, just to kind of make the bells and whistles. But the main goal is Nintendo Switch, Xbox, and PlayStation, because this is our first game as a company. So, you know, we're proving to the gaming world that we can do this. And I believe that you should. We're a rookie, right? And rookies have to prove themselves. Even though I'm an older guy, and I'm a rookie. But it is the company is a rookie. So we need to, I'm stepping up to the plate. I enjoy the challenge of showing people, hey, we can get this done with our team. And number two, along the ride here, we want to bring you on. And some of the rewards is really cool because it adds you into the game. Like we have a reward here where – so it's a boxing game, right? It's a Mike Tyson Punch Out parody where our artist – and he's amazing, by the way. His name is Mario. He's so good at the pixel art and creating likenesses. One of the tiers, as you pledge to the tier, we will draw you animated right ringside and you can pick your fight first come. So like for thousands and thousands of people that's going to play this game, you'll be jumping up and down right on one of the fights. We have over 30 parody boxers, over 30 fights, and you can get yourself made And it's very affordable, like much more affordable than you would think. And like another tier is, let's say like you're a YouTuber or like you have a brand, right? You know, your Lily show and other things, or maybe you're a Twitch streamer. Well, you can do what's called a sponsor ring. For that tier, we'll take your website address, we'll take your logo, we'll take like, you know, your brand or whatever, and we'll create an arena that everybody will fight in on a certain fight. So like, let's say one of the parody boxers' name is Chocolate Explosion. Okay, so let's say for his fight, you sponsored a ring and you want that fight, we would make like a phone sex with Lily type ring. And actually have your name in the lights and your website on there or whatever. So it's a way, but that's what they do in real life, right? If you watch a boxing match or really any type of fight, or even a baseball game, just look at the outfield. It's nothing. So we're doing it in a more classy way because it's something that lets us give back to the community, and it's really neat.
And then, so cool.
The final, like the biggest tier, we have multiple tiers. Like I think we have over 10 tiers right now. Set up on there. And the biggest tier is to actually make you an opponent in the game. So somebody can be an actual boxer that everyone is going to fight against. And that's capped at 5 because that takes time to produce. So like if 5 people purchase that tier, now we have another month or more of production onto the game. So we can't let everybody do that. So, you know, it's something that's really neat because what they can do is say, hey, I have a character that I've created. And it would be awesome to showcase that character in your game. Or I just myself. A lot of games do that. There was a Friday the 13th game a few years back. And it was like a real life Friday the 13th where like you and 7 or 6 of your friends run around as camp counselors. And one real person plays Jason. It was a fun game. But one of their Kickstarter tiers was become an actual camp counselor in the game. And so like a couple of the characters
in the game
is real people that pledge like – It was a lot. It was like $4,000 or $5,000. We're not going anywhere near that high, but it was kind of cool. Like they paid $4,000 or whatever, and hundreds of thousands of people has been them and the game. So you know, it's not for everybody, but it's neat. And it's something that as a company, we can give to the community that is interested in something like that.
Because I mean, if you think about it, the cost of, are we here? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, sorry, it went out for me. But the cost of advertising and all that, what a unique way to get your brand out. I mean, that's not too bad. And you're helping another company, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's something to where, you know, it's, you know, at least the way I look at it is, you know, anybody who's wanting to buy the game and give us, you know, all the feedback that we're getting and the positive, we've gotten tons of positive feedback. And it's really cool to see, but it's like I said, it's a way that we can give them something back along the way, because I've had people, I'm not lying. I have had people email me and send messages just says, hey, how can I contribute? They didn't ask for anything in return. Mm-hmm. They're just saying, what can I do to help you? Because one thing that people don't realize, we're only a 3-man team. It's myself as the creative director. I have one programmer and one pixel artist. That is it. And when people see the games we're making and Retro Knockout specific, they think we're 10, 20 people deep. They're like, I had a publisher say, oh, wow, I thought you guys had at least 20 employees. And I said, no, we're just efficient because we're passionate about what we do. We know what we do.
You know what you're doing. You know, yeah.
Nothing's lost in translation. It's just like, you know what I mean? You've worked in places, I'm sure, of your life to where it might have started small, and as the company gets bigger, that's great. We're making money. But now, you know what? I used to talk to this person every day. I don't even see them anymore. I wonder what they're doing.
Yes.
And you know what? Now your work gets lost in translation a little bit too.
Yes.
So I would like to be bigger than 3. Now, I contract a lot, like I mentioned, Akunev there, Oleg. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, I contracted him in. Jin Yuva, she's a awesome animator. I contracted her in. We have some really funny parody songs. Like, we parodied, like, the Cobra Kai song and everything.
I've heard some. you did pretty good on those. Yeah.
That's Marcello. He's over in England. He's got he's a really great singer. He's got a whole studio. So, but you pay them the money. They give you the work. They're not technically part of the team. They're just a contractor. So there's only 3 of us in production. And I'm really proud of what Mike, the programmer, has done. Mario, the pixel artist, has done, and how we put this together, because it's showing people. It's one of the funnier comments. I don't do anything to, I try not to build myself up by putting others down, because there's a lot of people who do that.
Yes.
But I've heard comments that, you know what I mean? You know exactly what I mean.
Yes.
Some of the funniest comments I've gotten isn't just like, wow, I can't believe you guys are doing this with a three-man team. It's, what the hell are these big companies doing? Like, you know,
yeah.
It hits people that they're like, hold on here. There's
if he can do this.
$5 million budget and a 35-man team, and they release their game, and I can barely play it because it needs updates and patches. And you guys are doing something that is amazing with three people.
That's probably why, though, because there's three people. Your hands are on it. It's not some robot or some machine or something that's creating it. You know, you guys got that personal
touch.
You know, touch, the personal insight. Your eyes are on the game.
Exactly.
Your eyes are on the. Anyway, so if someone wanted to,
it is,
you know, but I get just as shunned as everybody else.
And we've experienced that. Yeah.
So real quick, how do you say you've experienced it? What do you think about like how often you get shut down because of an adult performer?
Yeah. I mean, it's really,
what are your thoughts?
It shows the immaturity level of society and where we're at. You think we'd be past this by now? Now, I totally am on board with you don't want to put, you know, pornography in a 5-year-old's hands. Of course not.
No.
That's why there's the ratings, but that's why we have a system. So if the system allows it, because it's okay. So for game rating in America, it's called the ESRB. They rate every game. You can't get by, and you can't release on Nintendo or Xbox or PlayStation until you hand it over to them. They look at the game and they say you got an everybody rating or a this rating or a PG, you know what I mean? Like just like a movie. And as long as you say mature or under, you can release on console. But then there's still people within the industry that says, well, hold on here. Nikki Huntsman's in the game? No. Mm-mm. And what I've been found is on the larger gaming media outlets. Just to name a few out there, like, you know, the big one, PC Gamer. You'll see us on IGN right now, but I won't get into it all here because we don't have a long enough show. But it's one of those things where, you know, people really don't want to deal with you. I've been turned down. I had one. Mm-hmm. This guy was a marketing team. And I reached out to them. I was interested in doing some marketing. And the guy, and I get this so much. I hear this so much. It's almost,
etched like, in your brain.
Because they say, we love the game. We love what you're doing.
Yep.
And this is so cool. They even tell me I'm going to pick the game up when it goes live, but say,
but I kind of don't want to touch in that category. It's a little bit sketchy. Yeah.
Not from a professional standpoint. I had one guy tell me, because I spoke with the males and females here at, you know, XYZ company, which I thought was hilarious. Like, why do you need to tell me you spoke with the males? Just tell me you talk with your people. But he wanted me to know that he spoke with the females, and it's just not something we can take on.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, and he just want to punch him in the face. You know what I mean? I'm a Scorpio. I'm into that. You know what I mean?
Burn me, I'm done with you. I'm a crab.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no, I don't have crabs. I am a crab. But yeah, it's definitely just something that we face. I don't think in my lifetime, you know, you see the cycle of society coming around, and they seem to be tightening up. Others don't think so, but I do. And it's just coming full circle. And then we'll be in the hippie phase again with no bras, no, you know, and we'll be like everybody free love and sex. And then it'll circle back around. And we're just on the downslope, I think, on...
Hopefully that comes back before I die, and then I just die before that.
They're squeezing the meerkat. So if they want to donate to your fund, to your Kickstarter campaign, how do they do that?
Just a link. Hopefully we have it right here below us when we're talking, anywhere we're at. If for some reason you don't have the link, just go to Kickstarter. Well, really, just Google search Vanilla Beast Retro Knockout Kickstarter.
But
the game is Vanilla Beast. That probably will pop it up alone. Retro Knockout. And I mean, you can pledge whatever you want, and the tiers follow. I mean, if you want to pledge $10, you can. If you want to pledge $500, you can. And it's all about, you know, the level that you want to support us, or if you see a cool reward that you would like. I know we do have an arcade cabinet. I didn't mention that. So we actually are partnered up with a really cool company that's all they do is make arcade cabinets. So we have a big, you know, I think it's like 6 foot tall. It's a normal arcade cabinet, and it's got our graphics all over it. But the neat thing about it is just like a PC or console. So it has built-in Wi-Fi. So you get this arcade cabinet. Yeah, you get this arcade cabinet. It comes with our game and 11 other preloaded
it's
games.
It's not going to be like bing with the ball.
Yeah, exactly. It's got a store. So you can buy games for $5 on there, and you download them to the arcade cabinet, and you can stand up with your friends or have a party, whatever, and have this awesome arcade cabinet, and you can buy games just like you would on PC or console and download them to it.
Oh, cool. And that's a prize for contributing to your fund. This is one of the prizes.
Yeah, it's one of the rewards.
Wow.
But it is exclusive. So it's Kickstarter is the only place to get that. So yeah.
So you better get on it. Everybody better get on it. I'm sure it's limited time. So make sure you. Now, when does your campaign end? You want them to get on it right away because.
Yeah, right away.
Some stuff is limited. Yeah.
We're running for about 26 days. I think we set it for that's a good question. You put me on the spot. I think it's a Sunday night in April in the very beginning.
Okay. there you go.
The first or second Sunday. We're
just get on it. They need to get on it now, like right away. Well, I appreciate you coming, talking about your game. It's the first time we had anyone in the gaming. So now you have popped that cherry.
Well, I'm
wait,
just glad to be in service.
I appreciate you. And best of luck to your campaign. This is, you know, everybody who's listening, this is who it's going for. You know, people are passionate about what they're doing, the games that they're building, and what better place to, I mean, the perks too. Heck, I want my name in the ring.
Yeah, it's all there. We can work something out. I'm sure we can work something out.
You're going to put me like on a banner in the corner of the snack bar, huh?
No, you know what's funny is we actually have...
I'll be on the bathroom door.
No, we actually have some really well animated and bouncy ring girls. And you actually look like ring girl number two already. She's blonde. She's very, very... She has healthy lungs, just like yourself. Yeah, it's one of those things. So it's kind of funny. You're kind of already in the game, to be honest with you. You were my inspiration.
Is that how they do it?
Yeah, with the card over their head.
Well, how fun is that? So, well, again, thank you so much. If you guys want to donate, go to Kickstarter, Vanilla Beast Retro. Oh, it's a lot of words.
Knockout.
Retro Knockout. I was so close. Not my fault. It's my fault because I did another game. But I need to definitely check it out, especially if my fellow talent is in there too. So,
you know, before we go, I should say, you know, we're, like I said, this is the first game. This is just the very first prequel to Ace in the Hole.
Ooh.
We've got a couple more coming out. So maybe we can work something out if you're interested in actually being a playable character in one of the games. We
got
some
me?
Really fun stuff.
Yeah. Who, me? That would be awesome. Oh my gosh, it sounds so much fun. Like, it just sounds like you guys are having a great time over there with a lot of hard work.
Oh yeah, a lot. I mean, it's 16-hour days, but you know, when just like in your industry, a lot of hard work, a lot of sweat, but when you have the big climax, it makes it all worth it.
Yes. It's all worth it. That end pop, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, and we are signing off. Thank you for the great phone sex.
Thanks for having me.
All right. You're watching Phone Sex with Lily Show, and we are signing off. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Phone Sex with Lily Show and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share with others. Post about it on social media or SkyhawkAfterDarkTV.com. Simply type in Phone Sex with Lily Show and on Twitter at LilyCravenXXX or message on Facebook at Lily.Craven40. Thanks again. Until next time.